Assalamu alaikum, hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Retail Remix Stories powered by Fyind. This is your place to get up close and personal with inspiring leaders who are not just building great businesses, but through their massively transformative purpose are also shaping the future of commerce in the region. It has been our endeavor to bring you conversations from new age companies that are challenging the paradigm of how businesses are done. We've had the opportunity to speak to leaders who are building businesses from non-alcoholic beverages to functional foods in FMCG, from responsible fashion to fintech. And today we get to dive into, or rather drive into, the new age technology companies that are driving mobility in the region. And who else to speak to us better than our guest today? It's a pleasure to introduce Abhinav Patwa, Executive Vice President at Zed Mobility with Al Ghurair Group. Welcome to the show, Abhinav.
Thank you so much, Dharmendra.
It's so good to have you. This has been a conversation that's been pending for a long time.
Yes.
And I think we wanted to, you know, let's start off with our listeners understanding a bit more about Abhinav, the person behind the professional. So we'd love to hear your story about your growing up days. Where were you born? How were you raised? And what brought you to Dubai?
Sure. So I was born and brought up in a city called as Jodhpur in Rajasthan, which is the western state in India. And it's a beautiful city. It's very well known globally as being one of the tourism hubs of India and extremely rich culture. It's also known as Blue City because the houses in the old city area are blue. It's also called a Sun City because it's extremely hot. So that way it's very close to how Dubai is.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That way. So born and brought up there. My family still continues to be there, including entire extended family. And did my early education, engineering, all there. And then moved out of Jodhpur to do my master's. And then the entire work life has been out of Jodhpur after that.
Nice. And any key influences of what shaped you to be the person you are today? Any teachers, any elder cousins who kind of shaped you to be the person you are?
So my family, especially on my maternal side, is full of people who've been extremely studious, and education has been a priority. I come from a middle-class background. My father has been in service. My entire family has been in service. So right since childhood, education has been an extremely important thing. I've had people in the family who really had gone ahead and did really well in terms of education. So that was an important element while I was growing up. And I've been very fortunate enough to have teachers who really shaped. So starting from the principal of my school, and I was in my hometown a few days back during the summer break.
Nice.
And I was talking and meeting some of my school friends, and we were reminiscing how the principal really helped shape the entire value system and being grounded. And that is something which has stayed with me.
Brilliant.
All through the life.
Brilliant. And then you did engineering, and then you went to IIM Ahmedabad. Want to talk about those days, if there was anything that kind of influenced you? Because I have a story that's very close to my heart on how my future got shaped, because I went to Mumbai University to study international business. Mm-hmm. And that kind of exposed me to global thinking, right? And that was like a turning point in my life. Anything that that happened?
I have a very, very interesting story about that. So after engineering, I actually, I was very clear that I wanted to do MBA. Wrote CAT and multiple other entrance exam which happen in India for the management schools. I did not make it through IIMs, any of the IIMs in the first attempt, but I got admission into the MBA program or the 2-year MBA program that IIT Bombay has in Shailaja Mehta School of Management. I ended up joining, but I was very clear in my mind that I still wanted to get to IIM. So I wrote the CAT again while doing
nice.
MBA from there.
Wow. Okay.
And this time I made it through IIM Ahmedabad, but I was still confused. And this is in 2007-2008 days, where the entire financial crisis had not really hit the world. A senior batch had got really hefty packages. And like I told you, I come from a middle-class background. Had taken a education loan to pay the fees. Was a 21-year-old. So to that 21-year-old, it was a very key decision to switch because I would start earning 1 year later.
Right.
And I had to pay IIM Ahmedabad's fees again. And incidentally, it was that year where the fees had been hiked.
Wow.
And hiked very, very significantly. So I was honestly very confused. Now, in hindsight, the decision would have been simple. Back then, I was very confused. I went to one of my professors in IIT Bombay. I very fondly remember he was Professor Adil. And I said that, I'm quite confused on what needs to be done. So he told me something which felt really profound to me. He said that, look, you're 21. You'll do MBA, you'll graduate in 23, 24. Then you'll work on till 60. So that is 35, 36 years. In that, 1 year of your career and 1 year of your earning is not going to matter at all. But the entire exposure that I am in Ahmedabad, the pedigree, the colleagues that you will have, the fellow batchmates, the faculty, would put you in a different stead completely. And while for the first 2-3 years of your career, it will perhaps feel a little difficult because you'll have an additional education loan to pay, etc. But yeah, after that advice, it was a very simple decision.
Amazing. So you zoom out and you look at the longer picture. And correct. Absolutely.
So brilliant. Very, very small, but such a profound way to look at big picture thinking. Yeah. And this is something that now I go and tell people who are at that similar age and are facing dilemmas in life or what.
You're right. We have a lot of young listeners who actually ask these kind of questions. And this is the reason why we kind of want to talk about growing up days, education, a lot, because a lot of these young listeners come up with these exactly the same problem statements. And if even one of them can learn from the conversation we are having, I think we've kind of, you know, earned a good star for the podcast. So I think great. And thank you for sharing that. I think it's also a personal story, but it's very, very inspiring.
Yeah. So. And then to me, look, it is that this has stayed with me, and this is something that I really apply even during work, right? Because even in work, we often have, because there's day-to-day stuff that happens, right? There's short-term focus that is always there. This story always makes me think of the big picture view, that, okay, zoom out. Think about a 36-year view, right?
Yeah.
in that story that was there.
Yeah.
And therefore, think from that perspective, right? So there's 1 month, let's say, which is not going well.
Yes.
You zoom out and think about a 3-year view.
Yes.
And then you see that, okay, 1 month out of a 36-month is not really...
Yeah, when we were building one of our previous businesses, we were saying that, you know, in a 3-year period, if you can have 2 good quarters, that just makes you a great business. But it's the other quarters that you really need to manage. So I think clearly aligns with what you're saying. And then you did a long stint with the Tata Group, right?
Yes.
If there's something that you could share for that, for our listeners to know your growth story and, you know, what kind of businesses you helped build.
Sure. So straight out of B school, I'm in Ahmedabad, through the campus placement, I went and joined the Tata Group. And I was fairly clear in my mind that I wanted to do something around general management, which helps me get exposure to multiple different kind of things. And TAS, the program Tata Group, is structured exactly in that. It's a leadership development program. It's a leadership program of the Tata Group where you get to work across multiple different Tata Group companies and you get to grow along that. The first 1 month is an induction where you get to meet all the leaders of different Tata Group companies. You get to travel across locations, see Tata Group companies in action. So I've seen a jewelry factory, to a coal mine, to a power plant, to a vehicle manufacturing plants, all different kind of things, and Tata Group being massive in India and different businesses, you get to see that. And then you also get to work across 3 different group companies for 3-3 month project. And the focus is to try and do it in different functions.
Right.
So that sets you up really well. So I was working on corporate strategy for wholesale telecom business. So
wow, okay.
Very technical businesses, the likes of Airtels of the world would be your customers. Then I went and worked with Tata Steel, where I was setting up distribution network for wires, steel wires. Then I spent time with Titan, where I was, and which we were talking about setting up a new product line around reading glasses.
Right.
So as varied as it can get. Then I spent around 1.5 years with Tata Motors as the full-time stint after the first year.
Right.
Went on to work with the Planning Commission, Government of India.
Nice.
On deputation from the Tata Group, which gave me a great exposure of how the country is run.
Right.
And then after that, 2.5 years I spent with Croma, which is an electronics retail chain. So
varied experience.
Varied experience. Bunch of different things that I've done.
Amazing. And then how did mobility come about?
So this was back in 2015, 2016, where there was a lot of action which was happening in the startup community in India. And you were working with Flipkart back then, right?
That's right.
You'll know the exciting stuff which was there. I was keen to try my hands at some startup opportunity because the exposure that you get is amazing. And that's where I came across an opportunity of a general manager role at Uber, which they were hiring for. And back then, these were still relatively early days for Uber in India and even globally. The general manager is a very powerful and very value-adding role,
right,
where you get to shape the business for that geography end to end. So it was a very interesting opportunity which came my way. So I ended up applying. I ended up getting through and spent close to 3 years with Uber. Very, very enriching experience. Was leading the Rajasthan business for Uber first, wow, and then the West India business.
Nice.
And that's where I also realized that mobility and B2C in general is something which I find very, very exciting.
Right, right. So being close to the consumer, actually solving problems on the ground.
100%.
Right? I think that's something we share in common. I have it on the retail side, but I think you have it on the mobility side.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think it's more complex on your side.
Oh, 100%.
And then how about the transition to the Middle East and then what?
So after Uber, I went on to work with a couple of other companies in India. Did with some very exciting stuff. Dubai or overseas was honestly not on my radar at all. But then folks at Algorair had reached out and there was a very, very interesting opportunity to redefine and shape the future of mobility in Middle East and starting from Dubai. And Dubai, as we know, is at the pioneer of innovation in all fields, right?
Right.
If there's one city in the world where things can happen, it is Dubai,
yeah,
right? So it was a very interesting opportunity to build a new business grounds up. Algorair is one of the largest family business groups here in the UAE, a very strong pedigree of 70 plus years, multiple different businesses. And they're also somebody who've been in mobility for a long time. There's a business called Escabi. So earlier blue and now the purple roof taxis on the road, those are all Algorair taxis. So it's the second largest overall and largest private sector taxi operator in the country.
Right.
So it was an extremely interesting opportunity. Zed, the company that I'm building now, was a concept that was there, and there was an opportunity to shape and build out that.
Amazing.
So that's brought me here.
Amazing, great. And I think I'm extremely glad that we're speaking to you today because we wanted to really understand, you know, how mobility is shaped. So my experience is the first time coming to Dubai, maybe sometime in 1999 or early 2000, it was difficult to get a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be in the exports business carrying a lot of samples.
Uh-huh.
And I had two suitcases full of samples and taxis wouldn't just stop by. And they were probably also looking at me from being a young boy trying to get a taxi ride to actually just wanting to, you know, please Westerners at that point in time and maybe get tips there. But I think that has completely shifted, right? And you've seen this happen across two major geographies where growth is really powered by the technology tools. So, and how's it been different in your building days in Uber in India and the UAE? What are the different challenges you've kind of overcome?
So look, one of the fundamental things and why we even came up with the concept of building Zed is that while Dubai might have many similarities with other markets of the world, it has its own set of unique challenges. Right, the part of the city that we are sitting in, an hour later from here, getting out of this area is going to become a nightmare from a traffic perspective, right? So there are these very unique nuances of the city. So, and while there have been different mobility providers here, we felt that there's an opportunity to do something which is very local, very unique, which solves the problems in the best manner possible. And that is what we have been doing at Zed for the last 3+ years that I've been here. Our entire objective is to build the business which is solving for local needs. We are very proud to say that we are 100% local company, build grounds up, solving the problems for the local residents and having a very people-centric approach. Because often what happens is that the drivers who we at Zed called as Zeddies, and the reason we call them Zeddies is because in any company, right, that the people belonging to the company are...
And they have
that name based on the name or any with the country as well, right? So for us at Zed, they are the pillars of everything that we do, right? So they're called as Zeddies. And it's very important to have a name and a face behind the person who's driving the car because there are often days where you spend the entire day driving a taxi on the road or a car on the road, but nobody would even address you by your name. Right, because you're just a taxi driver. So that's something which is also very close to our heart. So we really want to make a difference towards them. And there are a bunch of activities that we do towards promoting them. We also see them as the best advocates that we have.
And you have. Yeah, you're right.
So we actually have a scheme where we encourage them to go and acquire customers for us.
Amazing. Okay.
Tell people more about Zed and nice. Bring more people onto the platform. So
nice.
So there, those are two, three things that really inspires us to what we are building.
Right, right. I think you touched upon a very important, significant part, right? Because one is the glamorous side of the business where there's, from a customer point of view, you have easy access to, you know, on the tip of a button, you are able to get in 30 seconds a taxi at your doorstep. But to make it happen operationally is like a rigor that goes into it, right? And then you have nuances, like you said, local nuances, there's prayer timings and, you know, especially during Ramadan, etc. Drivers, personal, you have to also respect their personal, you know, preferences of how they want to operate. And this is a 24-hour operation, right? There's no time that you have a downtime. Tell us about the rigor that goes into, you know, operating something like that. I'm assuming you have like thousands of taxis and probably a few, 10,000 or so drivers, right? And so how do you kind of build this entire system that runs flawlessly 24/7? Yeah.
And the last part that you said is something which I'm extremely proud of. So just zooming out a little, when it comes to taxis, so in the Dubai, city of Dubai, right? So we have taxis which are your metered taxis, which you could also hail on the road, and you can also do it book via multiple apps. For the longest period of time, that was available only on one ride hailing platforms. And other than that, your limousines, which is your Lexus of the world and all other vehicles, which are priced at least 30% higher than taxis, and that's a regulation. So we were the only player to kind of break that exclusivity and bring taxis onto the platform. It's been this happened towards the end of last year, and this entire year we've not had a single second of system downtime.
Amazing.
So I'm very proud about Super what our team has built, and this is a completely in-house tech team.
Wow.
And very, very lean tech team. I really believe in having lean teams and operating in that manner. And while that is something which I'm proud of, I know that there's a lot of hard work and rigor that goes into building that out. So the team really does a good job. We have teams which also operate 24/7 to provide support to both our ZEs and to our customers for anything that may come in. But look, more than the rigor, the core culture and why you're doing what you're doing, the purpose becomes very, very critical. So that also translates into what we do for ZEs and for customers and to solve the local problems, like I said, right? So I'll give you one example of local thing. In Dubai, and I'm sure you'll kind of echo with this, all of us have quite a bit of set patterns of things that we do, right? You would go to work, come back. Then you have perhaps some hobby classes or gym that you would go to. Yeah. Your kids would have extracurricular activities, enrolled into some classes. Then you have some weekend routine that you would perhaps go and hang out at a restaurant or something. So all of this, there's this pattern, right? So we looked into our data and we figured that there are enough or more cases where customers are booking rides starting from the same pickup location, ending at the same drop-off location. But they have to go through the entire booking journey. So we recently introduced something called as a one-tap feature where you can just save all of these things, the pickup location, drop location, what vehicle category you want, whether you want to pay by a card, cash, whatever, and save that. And then the next time you open the app, just click on this, one tap, your ride gets booked.
Nice.
So brilliant. Giving time
even
back
more convenient. So, okay. Well, I'm already always very proud of the way we are able to book very conveniently taxi. Now, this is us taking it a step further. This is absolutely Dubaizing the entire
exactly.
experience, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. And from a technology perspective, you said everything's in-house, right? So, but a lot of these features are also, you have to think forward, right? And so how do you kind of productize the entire thinking? One part is, of course, the operations with drivers, etc. But the technology outlook and keeping in line with not just what's happening today, but building a future roadmap.
Yeah.
How do you kind of operate in that space?
So two fundamental things that always happens there. First is that tech and product always have to move 3 to 6 months ahead of what operations is, right? If you're at an X volume today, tech cannot be building for X volume today.
Right.
They have to build for volume, which is going to come in 3 months, 6 months.
Right? And which could be 6X.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? So A, there's a scale component. And the good or bad part about the scale component is that different components of the system will see different kind of scale. So how do you manage that becomes one complexity. The second thing is when it building product features and roadmap, one of the things which I personally feel is extremely important is to decide what not to do. Because it's very often very easy to get carried away that, okay, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. You have to be very focused in terms of figuring out that what really needs to be built and how you put your focus on doing few things but doing them really well. And one of the key things which I've seen as a lean team to succeed is also if you focus on few things, you're able to do and iterate faster, right? So you fail fast effectively, right?
Right.
And there's plenty of room for failure. You try things, some things will work, some things will not work. No problem. Learn, iterate, go back. So we follow this in the product and tech thing. And the last thing is that have a very clear outcome-based view that, okay, what are the KPIs or metrics that we really want to chase?
Right.
And therefore, what are we building? Does this really solve for
impact.
That?
Right. I think great. In fact, what you say resonates so much with what we do at Find. And our global business head, Ronak Modi, keeps telling us, you guys need to figure out what you don't want to do or what you can't be doing right now. So I think great point there. Resonates so much right now. And I think you've seen this evolve over the last 10 years, right? Very closely. Coming to what's coming up, AI is a big buzzword. In your world, what does that mean?
Like you rightly said, right, that AI is a buzzword. So AI often gets very misconceived as well. In our world, it is what are the actual use cases where you can apply AI and get value out of it, right? So there are a bunch of different use cases. One of the things that we are doing internally is that to all my teams, I've given this thing that you have to consciously start thinking how you can leverage AI. Because to me, the most powerful set of people in the near future are the ones who are going to be using AI in the best manner possible. And think of it about if you have an arsenal of weapons, this is like an advanced weapon that you've got. It's how you use it that becomes important, right? So a couple of examples, right? So for instance, on the customer side, you could leverage AI into building models for you, which can do predictive assessment of how a user cohort is going to behave,
right?
When it comes to things like ETA, there could be models which could be built around that. The entire customer experience and ZE experience, support experience is one massive area where AI can play a lot of big role, both in terms of providing the right information to an agent who's helping, also doing the initial round of screening and being an agent itself, right? So the possibilities are endless. Mobility is also a domain where there's a lot of interesting work happening in terms of autonomous mobility, etc., which is like the most exciting frontier of technology in general, right? So lots of exciting stuff which are happening in the world. We are closely monitoring each of them and trying to stay ahead of the game.
Right. I think and mobility, like you rightly said, has so many facets, right? Of course, we all keep talking about mobility as probably mostly urban mobility, which is taxis for the city, etc. But there's also a lot of local mobility, you know, things like scooters and these small rides that you can, or some bicycles that you can hire for short rides. Is there some vision or future that you foresee Zed playing a role in it? Or you think that's a very different segment?
Yes and no. And I'll elaborate on what I exactly mean. The way I see mobility and is that it essentially is moving from place A to place B. There could be multiple modes of transport that could be used by an individual in doing that, right? So there's this entire concept of integrated mobility. It exists in some parts of the world and that's something that we would really want to build in the city of Dubai. So for instance, there could be somebody who's taking a car to go from their home to a metro station, then take a metro to go to another metro station and then use maybe a bus to go to the last mile connectivity, right? So how do you integrate all of those options? That's one critical aspect where it can become like a seamless booking. And we are also very thankful that the government of Dubai is a big sponsor of making people's life easy by integrating multiple things. So that's one thing which definitely we are looking at. Whether different modes of mobility itself comes in, open to looking at those. No immediate plans into getting into scooters or something.
Right. And I think, again, a great point you touched upon is the entire government's focus on building an infrastructure that supports a 20-minute city, right? In that space, how would, you know, cab utilization work, and how would this entire ecosystem then work towards enabling that 20-minute, distance covered, getting anywhere in the city getting covered in 20 minutes?
Yeah.
How would it actually play out? Do you know how that's going to happen?
So, look, the way to look at it is that when you talk about a 20-minute connectivity, right, you still have to go from place A to place B, right? Now, for going from place A to place B, like I said, right, that there could be multiple modes of transport that you could use. The entire cab ecosystem is still going to play a very, very massive role. You might not need to travel for 45 minutes. So from that perspective, the efficiency of the cabs itself will also go up, right? That you'll be able to get more trips per car per day. And it becomes even better for customers who are using it, that the ecosystem becomes better. The thing which will become very interesting for us is that Dubai then might not. So even today, there are different nuances which, let's say, a Bird Dubai and a Marina have with each other. Those nuances might start becoming even more nuanced in nature. Because you'll start perhaps having 20-minute communities, areas, right?
Oh, no, great way. And then, of course, the exciting part of the glamorous side of, you know, mobility, which is all about urban, futuristic transport, flying taxis and things like that. What's your view on those? And we see them as we read, you're talking about them coming as soon as 2026. And how do you see that shaping up? And is it only a statement, or is it really going to change the world in the next 5 years?
Before I answer that specific thing, the way the world is changing is a very, very rapid manner. There's this author which I really like called Tim Urban.
Right.
He likes really long blogs, and he's written a couple of books as well. He had this blog that I read, which nice way to explain that if you have somebody who died in, let's say, 1950s or 1930s, and if that person was to be born in 2000s, the world would be completely different.
Captain America, we call him.
Right? But at the same time, if you had somebody who died in, let's say, 1995 and was to be born in 2025, the world, just in a matter of 30 years, would still look drastically different from what it was, right? So the rate of pace of change is something which is a human mind can't necessarily even comprehend, because what we generally do is that we think about the past and we predict the future basis that, right? But the future is changing so fast that there's no way you can predict it. So 5 years later, very difficult to even say. However, what I definitely feel is that there is going to be a lot of innovation that is continuing to happen. To me, there will be multiple things that will coexist, right? So for instance, flying taxis, right? Your flying taxis might not necessarily be able to solve for your first point to last point.
Right.
But what it can definitely do is from, let's say, a pod A to a pod B, so to say, right? But your last mile connectivity will still be there, where different modes of transport will play a very important role. So I feel that there's going to be a huge plethora of different kinds of modes of transport which come together beautifully for an integrated transport that happens.
Right. Nice. Amazing. Great way to put it. And I think coming again, talking more about the future, right? Any key predictions for the next 10 years? Like you rightly said, it's very difficult to predict. But if you had to take a bet today and say, you know, what are the top three things I'm going to see in mobility happen definitely over the next 10 years in the region, or maybe even globally?
It's such a difficult thing to see through the future, because the way things are really changing. But one thing which to me really stands out, that while there's a lot of technological change that is happening, keeping things people-centric and people at the heart of things will continue to play a big role.
Right.
In fact, and not just about mobility, right? In our lives in general, there's so much artificialness that has happened that the entire emotion and empathy and core values, preserving them is becoming even more important, right? And even from a culture perspective, what we are building at Zed, that's something that we are really trying hard, that while you leverage technology, always keep people in mind, because those are the ones that you're building the business for, whether it be your customers or whether it be the Zeds that we have. And being a people-centric approach and leveraging technology to be able to do that well is to me going to be the key. Cutting the signal from the noise when it comes to so much information being thrown at you and still being very people focused to me is important and is going to become even more difficult to do.
Right. And if there's a, you know, a version of yourself maybe 20 years ago, was there anything different that you would tell that person to do? Or do you think how things have shaped in the mobility space, how it is shaped, you think it's the right place to go to?
Look, it is an extremely exciting space. And if I could go back in time and change something, I wouldn't really change much because I truly enjoy building businesses and I truly enjoy building mobility as a category and potentially other similar categories where you get to be very close to the end customer. Mm-hmm. And you really get to make impact and at scale. So there are very, very few businesses which give you that opportunity to be able to really impact so many people and do it really fast, right? We make a change, you will see the impact in the matter of minutes.
Right.
So that's something which is extremely exciting.
Right. And I think we're coming towards the end of the conversation, maybe a quick rapid fire kind of sorts, but a favorite book?
Quite a few, actually. The one that comes to my mind right now are two, actually. One is Zero to One by Peter Thiel. To me, it's sort of a mini Bible
right.
if you build businesses.
Right.
And then one which is on the entire point of how to live life. Right. It's a book called As When Breath Becomes Air.
Right.
Written by Paul Kalanidhi during
right.
the last, if I'm not getting the name wrong, but it is about a person who's a doctor and
right.
he finds out that he's about to die.
Right.
And then how his perspective about living life changes when you know about your
right.
about to
die.
So
right.
it's a beautiful book.
Right. Any favorite movies?
I'm a diehard Bollywood fan, so
okay. Same as me. Okay,
yeah,
you can tell by my name.
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. So,
yeah.
A lot of them. Two that come to my mind right now is one is a movie from the 80s called as Ijazat.
Oh right, okay.
Amazing. Not okay. very many people have seen, but it's a beautiful movie. And then one is not so old, a movie called as Masaan.
Right. Okay. Wonderful movie.
Movie very close to my heart again.
Oh, amazing! Amazing. It's a great taste there, right? Both reading and movies. And I think coming to the end of this, from an expansion perspective, are you seeing the business grow from the UAE to other countries as well, or is this a very specific UAE focus that you have right now?
So two parts to it. First is that within Dubai, where we are present right now. We're constantly expanding, adding more fleet to the platform. We've recently got another taxi supplier on the platform, which is one of the largest here in the city. So that's something which is exciting. So we continue to expand in terms of our overall supply presence here in Dubai. We're also looking at other Emirates in UAE and expanding to them. And at the same time, in the broader GCC region, we are actively looking at opportunities to expand. At the same time, our core focus, like I had said earlier, right, is do few things, but do them really well. And we don't want to dilute our core thing of being local. And whichever market you go, you'd solve the things which are best suited for that particular market.
Amazing. I think with that, that's a great note to end this conversation on. Abhinav, thank you so much. You've been really inspiring to talk to. There's lots that we've taken back from here. And we look forward to catching you somewhere on the streets.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Devendra, for having me over. It was
thank
a lovely
you.
Conversation.
And before we let you go, where can our listeners follow you?
The easiest way is to take a ride of Zed, share feedback. It will reach me. Otherwise, LinkedIn is where my presence is. So you can reach out to me on that.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Abhinav, once again. With that, we come to the end of a super special episode. We look forward to bringing you more such stories. So stay tuned. For all your technology needs, don't forget to follow Find. That's www.findy.com. It's Find with a Y. And if you want to know why, follow us.